Crisis communications is a complex science. There's a lot more to it than simply answering media or partner questions during a stressful situation. This series of edited discussions about crisis communication theory and practice is intended to help you refine your ability to manage, respond to, and ultimately survive a crisis. I'm Robert Johnson, your host for today's conversation, presented by the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Public Health Information Coalition. Each module considers a different aspect of crisis communications management, as explained by an expert or experts in the field. These discussions are produced to summarize the written and visual materials that accompany each topic. In this module, we examine the basics of crisis communications with Kelly Waters, who leads the CDC team responsible for the agency's crisis and emergency risk communication framework. The conversation is based on a presentation that you can find as part of this module. It includes a recording of the live presentation, complete with audience questions. Now, our discussion with Kelly Waters. Let's begin with a quick introduction to the CERC framework.
Crisis and emergency risk communication is a curriculum that was actually developed by CDC in 2002 in response to the anthrax incidents that occurred in the United States after 9/11. And the manual, the curriculum itself, was developed based on years of emergency response experience, based on psychology, based on communication science. There is a lot of material out there that supports these few principles that you can boil CERC down to.
The principles in the CERC framework are not just handy to know. They can actually save lives, right?
If we give people the information that they need to take the actions that will protect them best in an emergency, we can prevent larger loss of property, loss of limb, loss of life. The right message, what we say at the right time, when we say it, if we're timely, from the right person, from a trusted resource, can help people receive information in a way that they will be able to understand and act on.
Let's get into the principles in more detail now. Where do we start?
Be first. So number one is be number one, but that doesn't mean that you have to be the very first to say anything. There are eye reporters. There are, you know, everyone has a camera phone. The concept of be first in CERC means that you are first in your lane to speak on a subject where you have the expertise, where you're expected to have the knowledge, where you and your organization are expected to fill that role.
Delivering information quickly, that's very important. Getting the information correct, that's also critical.
You may never know everything. An emergency is an emergency by definition because it's chaotic, because there are unknowns, because it's uncertain. Being right can be saying what you know, for sure, sharing the facts, saying what you don't know, saying what you're still trying to find out, and then saying, this is how we're doing it. This is the process. These are the people that we're working with. These are the steps that we're taking. And that right there is messaging. Those are three key messages right there. This is what we know. This is what we don't know. Here's what we're doing. And you can be right in that way.
Third on the list is something that can be hard to come by. It takes time to build. Can you elaborate on it?
Credibility is so key, because if you don't have trust from the people that you're sharing your messages with, they're unlikely to follow your recommendations. They're unlikely to even listen to your guidance. This is true in emergency response. It's true in your personal life. You need to maintain a sense that you're expert in your field. You're being responsible with the steps that you're taking, with the process that you're pursuing, and that you are working for the good of the community that has been affected, that your intentions are pure. So credibility, building that trust, by being right, by being first, by being present and available and transparent with your information can help build that credibility.
This next one reminds us that the communities we're dealing with are going through a crisis. We can't forget that. For many, this could be one of the worst days of their lives. So we have to treat our messaging carefully, don't we?
It's really important that people be empathetic, communicators. Be empathetic, express empathy. It helps you do that. It helps you really engage with the audience or community that has been affected by a crisis. Express empathy could be, these are sad and uncertain times. Using those words, people are likely feeling sad. They are probably uncertain. And that's normal, normalizing that, as opposed to saying, I'm sorry for what you're going through. That's sympathy, and that's fine. But demonstrating that you're paying attention and you understand the circumstances without telling people how to feel, just showing them that you understand and know that this is an emotional as well as a physical and financial and loads of levels of emergency helps you get their attention, lets them know that they have your attention.
Number five on the list is a principle that you say is one of the most important, maybe the most important of them all.
So action is the ultimate goal of crisis communications. In an emergency, we want people to take positive steps towards recovery. And this is done by promoting those positive steps through recommendations, through guidance, through communications. And it's a win-win for both people affected by the emergency, but also for first responders, for responders in general. For individuals and communities that have been affected by an emergency, promoting action gives them a sense of purpose. It's also, for us, the ultimate end goal, promoting those action steps that will help resolve a crisis, and we need the entire community to participate.
Last but not least, a reminder to respect those people that we're trying to help.
We often think in terms of statistics and numbers because typically we're talking about large-scale crises or disasters, and we think about the number of people affected and the plot of land that's been impacted, and we think in terms of data. And it's important to remember that each of those data points has a name, has a face, has a personality, has a family. And we don't want to get bogged down in that. It's just a reminder why you're doing this and who your messaging is geared towards. Your messaging is not geared towards a number or a statistic. It's geared towards a father, a mother, a brother, a person. And the sixth principle really exists just to be a reminder of that.
This is great advice, but we all know it can be hard to remember what to do during a crisis. So how do we prepare for that now?
The best advice for learning the CERC framework is to read the manual, to take a class, to study it and discuss it, to keep a conversation going with colleagues, with leadership, with other response organizations, and with community members to make it clear that this is how this should go and this is how this will go, that CERC is the priority process for communicating when an emergency happens. As far as implementing it, the more you practice it, the more you talk about it, the more you plan for it, the more habit it becomes. So when an actual disaster does strike, you won't have to think so hard about what you're going to do. It will be more of a reflex.
You've been listening to one of six discussions about crisis communications available on demand via this platform. Make sure to listen to all of them. Each one considers a different aspect of the science and art of messaging during an emergency. Also, don't forget to engage the other resources included in this training. That way, you'll be prepared when a crisis comes calling. On behalf of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Public Health Information Coalition, I'm Robert Johnson. Thanks for listening, and be well.